PM, I'd like to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's Energy Technical Advisory Committee meeting of June 25th. Quick reminder, please be aware of background noise. Keep your devices on mute. If you're using a phone, do not put it on hold. Please wait to speak until invited to do so at the appropriate times, and please state your name each time you speak, and of course, TAC members are making seconding motions. All right, let's determine our quorum. Drew Smith?
Present.
Somebody just joined by phone. Would you identify yourself?
Jonathan Parks.
All right, number seven is Jonathan Parks. Somebody else joined too. Okay.
This is Norman.
All right, Norman's number eight. All right, Oscar Cahaya?
I'm here.
Bob Cochell? Here. Okay. Jan Geislers? Is Jan here? He's here. I'm going to mark him present. Tim Grabowski?
Present.
Commissioner John?
Here.
Brian Luxick?
I'm here.
Tony Morgan?
I'm here.
Okay. Jonathan Parks?
I'm here.
Roger Sanders?
Yep, I'm around here.
All right. David Wozniak? All right, well, we have 10 of 11, so we do have our quorum. We have Norman Bellamy, Alan Burke, Sabrina Evans, Jim Hammers, Mo Madani, and Justin Vogel, for DPR, and myself, Jeff Blair, Florida Building Commission's facilitator. And with that, we'll need to approve the agenda as amended. We don't have any minutes to approve. Drew, if you wanted to go ahead and get the approval on the agenda.
Sure. I'd like a motion for approval of the meeting agenda, please.
No move, Roger.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the meeting agenda is approved, Jeff.
All right, like I said, we have no minutes, so we'll refer those to the next meeting. So our substantive issue is hear the review, and then approve or accept the final draft report for the research project, comparison of the 8th edition Florida Building Code, Energy Conservation Code with IECC 2024, and ASHRAE 90.1 2022. The sequence we'll use is we'll provide a brief overview introduction, and then Bearcat from FSAC will provide an overview. I'll find out whether there's any clarifying questions or TAC members have, if there's any general public comment, and then back to the TAC for any discussion, and then a motion to accept the report. So, Mo, go ahead.
Yeah, now this is Mo Madani, and this research project, last month, you have heard the interim reports on this. In this project, there's two projects: one for residential energy code and one for the commercial. The two projects mainly, as we done with regard to the Florida building code, including the energy code. Mainly, we review the latest changes to the model code, including the International Energy Conservation Code and ASHRAE 90.1. And in this case, ASHRAE 90.1.
Could you mute John Geisers, please, and Bob Cochell?
In this case, ASHRAE 90.1-2022. And mainly, you know, the purpose of this, the comparison that we do, and, you know, with regard to comparing the latest changes to the 2024 IECC and ASHRAE 9.1, and mainly to determine which changes that is really have an energy impact that we need to really be aware of. As you know, we are through the process of updating the energy code, and we try to incorporate those energy code changes from the model code that has energy impact. So ultimately we can certify to develop energy that our code as updated meet or exceed the model code. So with us, Florida FSEC staff, Barakat and Jeff, to give us an update or summary of the final report. Thank you.
All right. Jim, if you would allow Barakat to share screen. If you're speaking, we're not hearing you.
Just give me a second. Can you see my screen now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we can see it.
Thank you, Mel, and thank you, Jeff, for allowing me to present the draft final report on this project, the comparison of the X edition for our building energy code with the ICC 2024 and ASHRAE 90.1-2022. We recall, you know, we've looked into this interim report, which covered primarily the ASHRAE 90.1, and we provided the code change summary, you know, identifying energy change impacts, and changes that has had energy impact, and also did some quantitative analysis that compared our Florida the energy code, which is the ASHRAE based, with the view of the code section excluded against the national energy code. And we went through the evaluation process using the weighting factor that we looked at based on the previous statistical data we get from PNNL. You know, this time we will look into the updated version as well. So the objectives of this project were, you know, reviewing the provisions of the editions and comparing to with 2024 ICC for the ICC based code and the ASHRAE version with 2022 ASHRAE 90.1. And then we look also at comparative energy performance of the two codes that we have against the national standard. That's 2024 ICC and 2022 ASHRAE 9.1. And do some cost benefit analysis of the code changes with energy impact. These are the objectives of this project. We have similar objectives for the residential section, but my presentation today is much shorter. Here is a summary again of what we have done so far. And then what is remaining is the comparative energy performance analysis for the IECC based code, Florida Building Code, which is 2024 ICC, and the cost benefit analysis as well. This hasn't been started yet, and we will provide the reason behind this at the end of the presentation. And then just to recap, these are the tasks that we have completed. These tasks were the review of the changes of 2022, RJ 9.1, and identifying the core changes with energy impact, and the comparative energy analysis of the Florida RJ 9.1 based code against the latest national standard, 2022 RJ 9.1. And then since the interim report, we've received a different weighting factor that PNNL uses when they evaluate state's energy code. And for that reason, we have had communication. MOE initiated the communication, and they provided us with the latest report about the weighting factor that we can use for Florida, and we processed them, and we have the latest weighting factors, and I will update you the current result based on that as well. So let's focus into what the presented today's presentation, which is a comparison of the changes of 2024 ICC and then the changes that impacts our ICC-based Florida building code. So here is the summary. So we've gone through the review process, and that has been summarized and documented as a way the way we used to do it, and that is going to pick up which section of ICC, which code change number, and what is really the change between the previous and current ICC code, that's 2021 versus 2024, and how it impacts our current code related to 2024 ICC, and identify any energy impacts, if it has, or if it has to be adapted, and then also identify if it has any construction cost impacts. So here is the code change is distribution within the standard. So most of the code changes go to the commercial energy efficiency section. That's section 3, 4, in a 2, 3, in a 4, 5, and 6, and a little bit also in sections 3, 4, 8 as well. But mostly they have been in the lighting mechanical system and advanced additional energy efficiency measures. But there is also significant change in existing buildings requirements. Here is, we've looked into the number of code changes. The counting might be slightly different because there are multiple code sections, changes, or change numbers that impact the multiple sections. So this is a very conservative estimate of the number of code changes. So we have around 238, doesn't even include the appendices. We have at least 9 new appendices and one modified one. So this is roughly about 240 in a 250 range. But this number is twice the number that we have. It's almost double what we had the code changes in 2021 version of ICC. So 39% of the code changes have the energy impact, and those, you know, most of them fall under the mechanical system, lighting system, and additional energy efficiency credit. So I'll go through the highlights of the different sections of these code changes that happened in 2024 ICC. We'll look into an example of envelope change, mechanical system, lighting and lighting controls, electrical power, and additional efficiency credits. To the envelope, we'll look into a couple of them: reduced air leakage threshold and measurement requirements. They have introduced this all building air leakage testing and measurement for buildings with gross condition floor area less than or equal to 25,000 square foot, and the major air leakage must not exceed 0.35 CFM per square foot at the 75 Pascal pressure difference across the whole building envelope. And there are also a new way when you have the air leakages between 3.5 2.45, it will be allowed to, you know, comply with the requirement if you do conduct some kind of diagnostic evaluations, like using threat of gas or some kind of infrared imaging, and then take some corrective actions will qualify you to comply with that requirement. Thermal bridging in above Great Walls, there are a number of construction envelope that may impact the thermal bridge phenomenon within a building. That's balconies and floor decks, cladding supports, structural beams and columns, and vertical fenestrations. And there are some exceptions to this requirement. This is a significant change within the 24 ICC. But here are the exceptions. Climate zone 0 through 3 may not impact, the exempted from this requirement. So Florida is basically exempted from this requirement, but this is a significant change within the ICC. And then also, if the material conductivity of the highly conductive material within that construction assembly, if its thermal conductivity is less than the 3 BTU per square per Fahrenheit, then that is also considered to be exempted from this requirement. You always need a high diversity in thermal conductivity to the thermal bridge effect to be significant. And then also materials for attachments, roofing coverings are also exempted. And then if you have, you know, a U factor that accounts for that construction assembly that meets the requirement, then that can be also exempted. In the mechanical systems, boilers and boiler control, this is a new requirement. It requires, you know, combustion air positive shed of control during standbys for capacity 2.5 million BTU per hour. And also it requires the fan motor, the blower fan motor greater than 10 horsepower to have a variable speed drive. And also requires oxygen concentration control within the flue gas. You know, boilers normally require excess air, which means excess oxygen, to complete combustion of the fuel. So this is an indirect way of controlling, you know, excess oxygen within the exhaust to minimize the waste heat that carried away with the flue gas. So this also has a capacity limit. Now these changes increase the stringency of the code, but I believe that the ICC recommendation is a cost-effective measure. So another one in the mechanical system is a thermostat dead band, set point adjustment and display requirement. So it requires separate adjustable cooling and heating set points, a minimum dead band of 1 degree Fahrenheit, and capable of supporting up to 3 degree Celsius or 5 degree Fahrenheit change. It requires displaying the heating and cooling set points separately. System or the control system must prevent any set point and cooling set point overlap. This may increase the stringency of the code because some of the current technology may have all these things embedded in the control systems, but there might be some simple equipment is that serving single zones may have limitations in their product. Heating and cooling system control for operable openness to outdoor. So this is whenever there is an operable openings to the outdoor, you know, when it is open, then you know the HVAC system must be disabled. And we already have this requirement, but now they just reduces the cutoff time to 5 minutes from 10. And there are, you know, 6 exemptions that apply to this requirement. You know, I just listed a couple of them. You know, building entrance with automatic closing device is not required to have these. Enclosed spaces without thermostat and state spaces served with radiant cooling and heating systems. Occupied standby control, this is also a new requirement in the ICC. So there are spaces which are allowed to have occupied standby controls. We do have this requirement in RSRA 9.1, but this is the first time it's introduced here in the ICC code. This is what it means is a space which is scheduled to occupy but not actually occupied, you know, those kinds of spaces, then they have to be able to reset the heating and cooling thermostat set points by 1 degree, and then also probably shut the supply air where the actual space temperature is floating between cooling and heating set point, and also automatically reset the minimum outdoor air supply, because this space is not really occupied, so they minimize the farm power and any other treatment that the outdoor air requires. Occupancy sensor control, this is a modification of an existing, so they have expanded the space types that requires occupancy sensor control. They have added four of them, these code change, computer rooms, data center, medical supply rooms in healthcare facility, laundry washer rooms, and telemedicine room in healthcare facility. This increases the stringency, but you know, this measure has been proven to be cost-effective in our even progress study. Lighting system, again, dimming control functions. Dimming is to reduce the light. The threshold was up to 20% for suitable controls and 30% for dimming controls, but now it is allowed to go, or it's required to go up to 10% of the power output. There is no really impact on the construction cost. Basically, the dimming control that comes with the LED technology is easily manageable to do that, because mostly the controls are based on softwares within the embedded softwares that do these kind of controls in LED technologies. Daylight responsive controls. So we have daylighting responsive control is triggered when we have lighting allowance at 150 for primary shaded area and 300 for primary and secondary daylighting area. But now, because of LED technologies, the lighting power allowance has substantially dropped below this threshold, existing threshold of 150 and 300. So to capture that, they have reduced the allowance threshold for triggering daylight response control. They have reduced it by half, from 150 to 75 for primary threatened area. For combined primary and secondary, reduced it to 150. Again, lighting control, so they reduce the lighting power allowance for building area and space by space methods. They roughly reduced it by about 5% on average. And also for building exterior, they substantially reduce the lighting allowance for exterior surfaces. This is a significant change. They haven't done that change in 2021, and this is the first time they dominate in two crop cycles, so that there is a large chunk of change, significant change in this one. And it aligns us with RSRA 9.1 requirement. No impact is expected on the construction costs. Electrical power, renewable energy system, they have added on-site renewable energy generation requirement. And this is basically the threshold is based on NOPV power. So they require a DC power output of 0.75 watt per square foot to be multiplied by gross conditioned floor area up to a maximum of some of the largest three floors. There are some exceptions. There are actually four exemptions that allow, for offsite renewable energy procurement requirement. Like, for example, one of the exceptions is if the building floor area is less than 5,000 square foot, then you don't have to have on-site renewable energy generation, but you have to have the offsite renewable energy procurement. There are all the details in the requirement, how you can do that is detailed. And there is also an exception they don't climb at all, like you don't need in climate zone anywhere, or the solar intensity, daily average solar intensity is about, you know, less than 1.1. Just can't remember, it is a lot of PTU per square foot. And there is a cut point, and then there is also another exception where you have, if the building is blocked for significant hours of the day by a permanent structure, then that will be also exempted. But you have to have some kind of offsite renewable energy procurement to offset that requirement. And this has been found to be a cost-effective change, but it increases the stringency. The additional efficiency, renewable, and load management requirements, they have modified this section extensively. So it used to be additional efficiency requirement, but now we have requirements for renewable energy generation and various kinds of demand response the requirements within it. They have added several measures to these sections, 32 new ones, but the total now is about 39 measures, and some of the modified ones. But RECC had 11 measures in 2021, but they have added another 30 plus at this time. But Florida has only six measures, but then maybe more than 32 for the Florida Building Energy Code. So the changes are various. You know, there are thermal envelope requirements, U value change, where you can reduce your U value or your U value. There are HVAC system requirements where you might use highly efficient equipment. The same thing in service water system. Some of them are controls, some of them are efficiency. Energy monitoring is also one area. Lighting systems, where you can reduce the lighting requirement, and some maybe efficient controls. The equipment efficiency, these are usually kitchen type equipments. As I said, renewable energy, we've seen that minimum requirement for on-site renewable energy generation, but you can expand that to have more than that minimum requirement, and some demand response requirement for lighting, thermostat, some service water heating as well. And then energy storage, those electric battery storage and some thermal energy storage, whether it's in chilled water system and then even hot water system as well. This also increases the stringency, but it is, you know, demonstrated by some of the studies that I have seen, it's cost effective too. So let me update you. This, you know, covers what we look at the highlights of the changes for the RECC 2024. Keep in mind, I would like to stress here, these studies for RECC 2024 change are based on the draft version of the 2024 RECC. There might be some changes that if the appeal process changes some of the codes, then this may have to be revisited. In updates to the RJ 90.1 2022 code change energy impact analysis, this is only to highlight what we've done since the interim report, based on the latest weighting factor that we have received for the weighting factors. What you see on the left-hand side is the old weighting factor, and then this is the new weighting factor. You can see the orange one is a climate zone 2A. There is a shift here. For most of them, the extent of the weighting factors for climate zone 2 has increased. That will affect the weighting that we pick up for each prototype building, and hence we'll have a slightly different value for energy utilization intensity that we determine for the state of Florida based on the the aggregate of the 16 prototype buildings that we use for our comparative analysis. So here is the result that I have. The one you see on the left, all weighting factor, the average site energy utilization intensity for the ASHRAE 9.1 based Florida building code 2023 was about 45.47 kBTU per square foot for the year, and then the national code 90.1 was 40.95, and that now has changed because of that. Those are some slightly increased, and then the difference between them has slightly decreased. So the difference, the percentage difference, was 9.94% using the old weighting factor, but now it has already slightly reduced. It doesn't change any of the conclusion that we can draw from here, but we see the impact of the change in weighting factor. This was one of the issues that we discussed last time, as much as we can, we update whenever we get some latest updated data set that helps us in better estimating or quantifying our analysis results. So here are the tasks that have been completed for ASHRAE 90.1. Review the changes, identify changes with energy impact, review and summarize the code changes for 2023 Florida Building Code Energy Conservation, the IECC base, compared with the draft version of 2024 ICC. We provided the summary in this report in the panel. We identified changes with energy impact, and we did the quantitative analysis I just updated you. That's for the ASHRAE based 2026 Florida Building Code Energy Conservation against 2022 ASHRAE 90.1. So what are the tasks that are remaining? The comparative energy analysis between ICC based 2026 Florida Building Code against the 2022 ICC. We haven't done the energy analysis, and the no cost benefit analysis has been done to any of the changes that we have. And the reason is primarily it is due to a delay in the publication of 2024. We received the draft version of 2024 ICC sometime in the middle of April this year. This project was initiated last year. The proposal and the statements of work were approved in July 2023, but actually we were supposed to start the project sometime in early October, but this was delayed for more than 6 months because we didn't have, and actually more pushed us to start with the draft version that is available for us. We picked it up sometime in April this year, and we have managed to come up with just a comparative quantitative analysis summarizing the code changes and identifying code changes with energy impact. So anything remaining that is cost benefit and energy analysis for ICC based code, it has to be postponed to the next year, fiscal year, and that will all depend on the commission decision and DBBR to come up with schedule how we can help in finalizing projects. That's all what I can say for your attention. I'll be happy to respond if you have any question related to this work. Thank you.
All right. TAC members, before we take your questions, just want to remind everybody that this is simply a comparison and analysis, that comments on the actual changes should be deferred until the September 2024 meetings, when you'll be taking up the model code updates, and that's the time for discussion of the pros and cons or other parts. So this is just regarding the comparison. Any questions that TAC members might have? Okay. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to comment?
This is Arlene Stewart. This is Arlene Stewart. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead, Arlene. I'll give you, I'll let you know when. Go ahead.
Thank you. thank you to staff and to the TAC for making this available to give us an idea of how, you know, what we're looking at coming to the September 2024. A question for Mo. All of these differences, will we have the same kind of analysis that we did last time from you, where it would be a comparison whether the language was actually there, whether it was, you know, Florida had similar language but that accomplished the same thing, and whether or not it wasn't there at all? Will we have that access to us?
Mo, did you want to respond?
That's the plan. We are working on doing just that. However, the task has been very difficult, and that's because ICC has changed the process of how they put together the update to the to the International Energy Conservation Code. They have decided to do it as a standard. So the difference between what they used to do and what they're doing now is that before, you know, they will give us a monograph for a specific code change with all the information in there, and where we can really determine whether certain things is correlated to the foundation code, or whether it is overlapping. This time, because of a standard, but what I mean by that is that they mainly publish a number of drafts for the updated code, and they gather comments every time. So you have a multi-level of changes that is really with so many monographs and the history of changes that make it very difficult to rely on those to really provide, you know, the whether it's something is correlated directly or overlapping. So what we're doing at this point, we are using that the code as published, meaning that, which is, you know, as stated by Barakat, ICC have yet to publish the final energy code for the 2024. That, you know, so my understanding will be published early July. However, we are using the draft at this point, and we will update it as we see the final, to point out what section of the code of the 2024 that is really changed, and whether the change is directly correlated or overlap with some. So we are kind of, it has been very difficult to do this. However, we are working on it. We hope to get it done sometime soon. So stay tuned. So we will do whatever we have done before, but maybe with a different format and all that. Thanks.
All right. The other question.
Yeah. Wait, yep. Arlene, you've already used up well more than your time. So is there anybody else in the public wishes to comment? Okay, then let's come back to the TAC. You know, there weren't any questions unless there's any discussion. We would look for a motion to accept the final draft report for the research project comparison of the 8th edition Florida Building Energy Conservation Code with the IEC 2024 and ASHRAE 90.1-2022.
John, make a motion to accept.
All right.
Second.
We have a motion and a second from Commissioner John and Oscar Calles. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Then that's unanimous. Unless there's any other comments from folks, I'll turn it to Drew to say that we stand adjourned.
No, Jeff. We have another presentation for residential.
For commercial. For residential.
Okay. Who's going to be doing that? Is that Jeff? Or
that's me, Jeff Sunny.
All right, Jeff.
All right. Thank you. Good afternoon. Jeff Sunny, Florida Solar Energy Center. Yeah, here to provide the residential portion of that of this reporting. Don't see an option to take the screen over yet. There it is. All right. And do you see my presentation now?
Do.
All right, great. Oops, let me see here. Okay, now is it in the full screen?
It is now, yes.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, great. So, yeah, and, you know, some of this will be repeated because it's the same project just on the residential side. So I'll go fairly quickly through the general administration. But, yeah, looking at the changes between the 2023 R code and the changes in the IECC 2024. Then also, as Beric had mentioned, there's a quantitative analysis and also an economic analysis. Again, those haven't been possible because of the delay in the 2024 IECC, but we'll go over the changes that we have documented here today. So that includes this report, includes those changes, and the change summary for each one. And then also identifying the code changes that have energy and construction cost impacts. So as Beric had showed, a lot of changes this time around. The vast majority, again, as would be expected, is in Chapter 4, Residential Energy Efficiency, on the residential side here. But there were significantly more scope and administration, Chapter 1, and new definitions. Total of 374 residential changes. Now, those do include renumbering, so it's going to be less than that, but that's compared with 258 last time. So, again, as with commercial, significantly more residential changes for the 2024 IECC. And, again, the table format that Beric had noted, we use the same format here. So the change summary between the IECC codes, then between our code, Florida code, and the 2024 IECC, anticipated stringency, energy stringency impacts on our code if these changes were to be adopted, and then the anticipated construction cost impacts, again, if the changes were to be adopted. So here's what the table looks like. As Beric had noted, too, on the commercial side, here's a sample page from the residential side. Again, just the 2024 IECC section and title. And this is that monograph that Mo mentioned. So, you know, we have some guidance there from the process that the ICC used for these code changes. So some of that's reflected here best we could. And then there's the actual change between the third column, the actual change between the 2021 ICC and 2024 ICC. Then what is that change between 2024 ICC and our Florida code? And then again, the anticipated energy stringency impact and anticipated cost impact if the changes were to be adopted. So a couple of highlights here, as Beric did for commercial, we'll do some for residential as well. And one of them is for the 2021 IECC, it had a section R40125, which required additional energy efficiency upgrades. And those were applicable to all compliance paths, so prescriptive, performance, and energy rating index. And so that's been replaced now with a table-based additional efficiency credit requirements. This time, this is only applicable to prescriptive compliance. We'll look at the changes for the performance and energy rating index as well. They have a heavily revised and expanded section R408, which provides these credit options and the guidance for what's required for those. So that would definitely increase the stringency and cost of our prescriptive Florida compliance. Envelopes, actually a reversal in stringency on the IECC side. So in 2021, they had reduced the U-factor requirements for ceilings from 0.30 to 0.026. and they reversed that now for the 2024 IECC. And so as a result, that would return, if we adopted that, it would really be no change for us in Florida, return to our same prescriptive. And the U factors, this table R40214, also affects performance compliance. It's used for the reference, standard reference design, so it would also affect our performance compliance here in Florida. That would make them equal. And on a corresponding reversal, they've increased, or they decreased, excuse me, the R-value requirement for climate zone 2 for our ceiling R-values from 49 to 38, which is the same that we have in Florida right now. And so, again, that would return us to the same place as we are now here in the state. Maximum air leakage rate, the 2024 IECC has, again, reduced that from what was 5 ACH 50 in the 2021 IECC to 4 ACH 50 for our two climate zones. And again, our maximum in Florida is 7 ACH 50, so there's a fair gap there if this were to be adopted. And also, the 2024 IECC provides a CFM per square foot based air leakage rate exception. So that's for attached dwelling units or sleeping units, and then R2 occupancy, so like apartment housing, or where the buildings have less than or equal to 1,500 square foot of conditioned floor area. But again, overall, would increase stringency and cost of Florida compliance. Lighting side, as Barrick had pointed out, there were some changes on the commercial side, and what has happened on the residential side is that they used to just refer to Section C 405.5 on the commercial volume. So they move that over now into the residential volume, the actual specifics and requirements. And they added exterior lighting power limits with some exceptions and exterior lighting power allowance table. And again, as Berka pointed out, those are lower than they have been, so they're more stringent. But anyway, they brought it into our residential volume, so we can see it right there instead of referring to back to the commercial volume. They also added an additional exterior lighting power allowance for building facades. So that's new and applies now for residential. Also, they revised and expanded the interior and exterior lighting controls sections. So, you know, there are definitely some changes, but overall, if we were to adopt these sections, that would, you know, increase our Florida stringency and cost on the lighting side, because we do not have parallels for a lot of these requirements. On the performance side, again, for 2021, the IECC had this section R40125 additional energy efficiency requirements, or you could choose to reduce the annual energy cost of your design, your proposed design, to 95% instead of 100%. So in place of that now in the 2024 IECC, it's requiring that if you have fuel-burning appliances, so space heating, water heating, or both, then the annual energy cost be less than or equal to 80% now of the annual energy cost of the standard reference design. And if you have electric systems, then the annual energy cost be less than or equal to 85% of the standard reference design annual energy cost. So those are significant changes, especially we're, you know, at 95% here in Florida right now. So that would definitely be more stringent than we have now. And also for projects that are over 5,000, greater than 5,000 square feet, annual energy cost has to be reduced by an additional 5%. So in both those cases, that would definitely increase our stringency and cost for performance compliance. Then also on the performance side, to highlight, in the 2021 IECC, the compliance standard, or space heating, cooling, and water heating standard reference design efficiencies were the same as the proposed design. So you couldn't get a trade-off credit for more efficient equipment for 2021 IECC. That's now been changed to the federal minimums, which is what we use in Florida. So that's a major shift for the IECC, but since it's already what we're doing here in Florida, that would not be a change for us, and it would continue to allow our code to provide the equipment efficiency trade-offs. Okay, for the energy rating index side, for that compliance path, so again, in 2021, it referred to this section R40125, additional efficiency requirements. And in this case, the ERI, it required the ERI be at least 5% less than the table R465 maximum index. So that's been removed now for 2024, and in its place, the 2024 ICC reduces the table R406.5 maximum index only slightly from 52 to 51 in both our Florida climate zones if you don't have on-site renewables, but we're still at 58, an index of 58 in Florida, so that's a 7-point difference between 2024 ICC and our Florida code. So slightly less stringent on a IECC comparison basis, but more stringent for us here in Florida. And then there also is another option. They have a new lower maximum index value value option if you have on-site renewables, and those index limits are 35 in Climate Zone 1 and 34 in Climate Zone 2. So again, would increase our ERI stringency and cost here in Florida if we adopted those changes. So that's a little bit, just a quick highlight. Some details, again, a lot of changes in here, but those are some of the biggest ones. And again, energy impact analysis and economic impact analysis, unfortunately, weren't able to address, again, due to this 2024 IECC availability. So, you know, I know they're looking into how that might be accomplished for maybe possibly the next fiscal year, or we may need to, you know, make some determinations without some of this analysis as well. So thank you, and yeah, please let me know if questions.
ACT members, you have any questions? Okay. Before we make a vote on this, is there anybody from the public would like to comment on this? Okay. I don't know if your hand is up, Arlene, or is that an artifact from before because it never went down, but...
It's an artifact, Jeff. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, no public comment, then let's go to our TAC members. Unless there's any discussion, we'd also look for a motion to accept the final draft report, comparison 8th edition, FPC, energy conservation, with IECC 2024, and ASHRAE 90.1-2022 for the residential provisions. Is there a motion?
So moved, Oscar Cahill.
Second, Sam.
Dave John, I make a motion to approve.
All right. Well, we have a motion, double motion in a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right. I believe that completes the business since we went over both components of it. Then I'll turn it to you, Drew, to close us out.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, TAC members, for taking the time to go through this today. Thank you to the team at FSEC as well for our updates today. And we'll go ahead and adjourn us. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody.